You are listening to The JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levi.
And we hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, welcome everyone back to another episode of The JP Show. We are recording this show on Monday afternoon, Erev Tisha B'Av, which means that tonight we begin the saddest day in the Jewish calendar, known as the 9th of Av, Tisha B'Av, where we mourn the destruction of both temples that stood in Jerusalem close to 2,000 years ago. And it's also a time we remember all of the tragedies, persecution, pogroms, Holocaust, all the things that befell the Jewish people up until and including something that we're going through now, I think, the massacre of October the 7th and all the fallen soldiers and all of the tragedies that happened then and since. So it's, I wouldn't say it's a celebratory day, but we always have to have hope. So Rabbi Levi, how are you? And what are we going to be talking about today, being that it is Erev
Tisha? Yeah, it's a unique time to do a podcast, actually. In fact, the time when we're doing the podcast is sort of a time where we're told that we're supposed to start focusing only on Tisha B'Av and sort of divert our attention from anything else. And I think that, as you mentioned, Tisha B'Av starts off with mourning about the temple, but we're told that everything that we've been through since then is because of the destruction of the temple. And personally, and I think it's true by many people, Tisha B'Av, it was always a day which was a little bit difficult to connect to, because life, I mean, look, you know, obviously everyone has problems and everyone has their, we call it tzaris, their sort of their problems in life, but life has been good for the Jewish people, pretty much. You know, obviously there's been tragedy all the time, but it hasn't been terrible. But I think this year, we're connecting to Tisha B'Av on a much deeper level. I think we're sort of feeling that the suffering, the pain of the past 2,000 years hasn't stopped. Like it may have taken a little break, but it's unfortunately back with a lot of strength, including the terrible massacre, but also the anti-Semitism and everything that we're going through, all the heartbreak that we've been through. And you know, normally we're taught, I think, that we just have to keep on going and be positive and upbeat. In Judaism, you know, serving God with joy is such a fundamental thing. I think we've discussed this many times, but we dedicate one day a year to sort of feel that pain, to feel the sadness. And it's important to do that, because otherwise we need to wake ourselves up a little. We need to actually take time just to reflect on the sadness and on.
So would you say that it's kind of a day that's designed to take us out of our complacency?
Absolutely. It's definitely not a day to get depressed. We never should get depressed.
We don't believe in depression. I mean,
correct. It is a sad day.
The small day, I mean.
Yeah, it is a day to feel sad and to feel pain. But I think the point of that is to translate into urgency, to get us to do something. So I thought we would discuss something a little bit different than we normally do. We normally discuss more of like a personal growth idea or sort of a more, maybe more controversial idea. This is going to be a little bit different, but I think it's a very important thing, because I think more than ever, people are looking for hope. People are looking for light. People are looking for something to grab onto. And we have this concept in Judaism, which I want to try and discuss today, both in what does it mean, just on the basic level, and also what does it mean to us? How does this affect our life now? This concept of Mashiach, of the future redemption. So, you know, let's actually start with that. What is Mashiach? I'm sure many people are listening, you know, learned about it in kindergarten, perhaps. But what does it actually mean? What does it have to do with Judaism? Let's start with a very basic level.
Wow, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, that's right.
First of all, I think let's just take a step back for a second, right? So Maimonides famously codified or sort of organized the fundamental foundational beliefs in Judaism into what we call the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the 13 principles of faith. Anyone who's gone to shul on a Friday night and heard this song, you know, Yigdal Elokim Chai, that's what it is. Actually, it's a song made based on the 13 principles of faith. There's 13 paragraphs in that song. The 12th one, and the 13th in a way, but the 12th is about the future redemption and that there will be the coming of Mashiach. The 13th is something that will happen after Mashiach comes, and that's the resurrection of the dead. But let's just focus on Mashiach now, the 12th one. So it actually is quite foundational. It's not just an idea that we know that will happen, but it's a foundation in our faith. obviously something that requires faith, because it's a little bit abstract for us. What does that actually mean? So let's just take the simple sort of basic version of Mashiach, the way the Rambam, Maimonides explains it in his book of Jewish law, his magnum opus called the Mishneh Torah. Essentially, we believe that there will be, hopefully soon, an individual who will come from the Davidic dynasty, which means will be descended of King David and the kings of King David. And he will bring, usher in an era of redemption into the world. What does that redemption look like? A number of things. First of all, it's got a number of components. Number one, the ingathering of the exiles, which means the full return to Israel. Now, there are midrashim that say that Israel will actually expand when Mashiach comes. So whatever that means, but there will be a big Israel, a big Israel. Anyone who's worried about losing their pool or something, you know, don't worry, it'll come with you. It'll always be there. Mashiach comes, hopefully. So the ingathering of the exiles. Second is complete peace in the world.
Yeah.
There won't be wars. There will be abundance. There won't be poverty. There won't be wars, and there won't be petty things to focus on. In other words, we'll have what we need. We'll have abundance, and we'll be at peace. Including in that also will be the rebuilding of the third temple. So we know we had two temples, but just we mourn their destruction, both their destruction on the 10th, 9th of Av, Tisha B'Av. But there will be a third temple, a place where we'll be able to gather and to go and to visit whenever we can, to serve God in a proper way. And in general, as the Rambam concludes, it'll be an era where in a peaceful, abundant world, we will be able to be focused on our values. We'll be able to focus on Torah study, learning about God, and serving God in the proper way. I think that's in a nutshell.
Yeah, I think that's in a nutshell, sort of the basic idea of Mashiach. Now, obviously, as you said, that does sound a little bit abstract, only because, you know, what exactly does that look like? How are we all going to get? And I believe the Rambam actually says that we won't know exactly what's going to happen until it happens, although there is much written about it. There is much to learn about it. But even when you do learn about it, it's still very ambiguous, not exactly clear the order of things, what will happen, when it will happen. But we do know it's going to happen. As I said, it's a fundamental in our belief.
Well, and if I just say, we actually something we mention every single day in our prayers.
Yeah,
multiple times.
Yeah.
We actually pray for it all. And we've never given up hope. We've been praying like this almost 2,000 years.
Yeah, for sure. What would you say to someone? Because I think in a way, we all have that little voice in us, maybe some more than another. Maybe, you know, for us in Australia, life is comfortable. Like, you know, okay, yeah, there's anti-Semitism, but it's, you know, so far it's nothing terrible. We're not being persecuted. You know, we have a good life here. We're comfortable here. Like, you know, we can daven, we can learn. There's binah if you want to come to a shir. You know, like, what do we need this for? Like, are we really excited for this? Like, to upend our whole life and we should just all move to Israel and who knows what we're going to be doing there? And it's like, it sounds a little bit... Besides for the difficulty in believing in it, how about the difficulty in even wanting it?
Correct. So you remind me of the story in the shtetl that I once heard about a husband comes home from a daily shul. You know, he went to shul for the morning prayers and he comes back, simple guy, and he tells his wife, you know what I heard in shul today? I heard Mashiach's coming. So she says, turns to her husband, she says, don't worry, don't be so nervous. You know, we've survived persecution. We survived pogroms. We'll survive Mashiach as well. Don't worry. So, yeah. So the truth is, there is that problem. And it's a problem. It's an exile mentality, which we all have on some level, right? That we think life is good. We think it's good the way it is. And we become complacent and we tolerate being in galut. Now, once in a while, we get a wake-up call when there's a war and there's persecution and in past times, you know, and all of a sudden we kind of want Mashiach more because things are going on. But it's more than that. In other words, first of all, no one has to be worried about uprooting their homes and wondering and finding a place to stay and worrying about if the hotels will be full in Jerusalem or not. That's not what it's about. Now, there's some discussion of how it will all take place miraculously or naturally, whatever the case is. But one thing is clear. The goal is very clear. Everyone will have what they need. Everyone will be comfortable. Everyone will be able to do things in abundance and be completely peaceful and calm. So no one has to worry. But what will happen is we'll enter into a new era. We'll enter into a new period of something deeper, something higher, something more godly, something which maybe we don't even appreciate now of how wonderful it is, but it'll bring the world to its purpose, besides all the side benefits. What I'm trying to say is, the bottom line is, even those people that are comfortable, everyone has their pekel, as you said before. Everyone has their little load of tzaras, health issues, children issues, sustenance issues, marriage, relationship issues. I don't think there's anyone that doesn't have their fair share. Maybe they won't tell everyone, you know, because in the Instagram photo, everything looks wonderful and perfect.
As the saying goes, the only people who don't have problems are the people that you don't know well.
Exactly. So, you know, right? People who you least expect it. So that's a motivation in itself. I mean, when Mashiach comes, there'll be peace in the world and abundance of the world and health of the world. So it'll be a much better life, even physically, right? So if everyone has a little thing, little challenges they're suffering from, those challenges will go away. But more important, we'll be able to elevate ourselves into a whole new way of existence that we'll love, we'll enjoy. It'll be unbelievable because we right now, although we can visit and we can engage in depth, but not to the level that it'll be when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, it'll be, I mean, the way it's, you know, written in Hasidic works and in Kabbalistic works and so on, and even in the Rambam, it'll be a full divine revelation. Things, you know, God is pretty hidden now. Right now, he's pretty hidden because, like, we don't understand his plan. We know he's got a plan and we believe in him 100%, but, you know, we don't understand some of the things that are happening and why there's tragedy and why there's heartbreak and why there's pain. Mashiach will come, he'll be exposed, he'll be revealed, we'll be able to relate to him in a much deeper and glorious and wonderful way.
Yeah, for sure. I think in other words, I think part of our hesitation now is because we think that we're living a good life, but actually the life we're living now is
superficial.
It's in the dark. We don't really have the light. I mean, we do good things and we try to connect to that light, but we don't live in the light. We don't experience that light. Like when Mashiach will come, like a switch will go on. Like we'll suddenly realize that like the priorities that we had until now weren't really worth it. They weren't really what life is all about.
And the happiness that we think we achieve now is minimal and that light switch that will go in there will bring tremendous happiness.
Yeah. I think also people have to realize, you know, the way the Rambam discusses it, like the world the way we're living now won't look that different in the sense that we'll still be married and we'll still have children and we'll still eat and drink and all those type of stuff. But I think it will just be done in a totally different context than we've done in a godly context.
Correct.
So when is he coming? Is this something which I don't know if you have an answer to that. I'm not sure if you're a prophet and you know exactly when it's going to happen. But do you think it's close? Do you think it's actually, this is something which is real?
So yes, let me answer all three questions. I don't know when he's coming, nor do you. We hope, we do know that he's overdue, that's for sure.
That's right.
We're ready. I think that something, and I think this is giving me at least a lot of strength, and I'm sure others too. I think what is happening now in Israel, what is happening now in the world, is part of some journey. It's part of some process, and I'd like to think it's part of the journey towards Mashiach. I think it's there are big things happening, and some of them are scary right now. It's not Mashiach now. Let's get that very clear. It's not. Yeah. Right, what is happening now is that's not what we mean when we say Mashiach. We don't mean wars and persecution and anti-Semitism, but the world is in turmoil. Something's happening. It's a bit unprecedented how this world is a complete chaos at the moment. Mm. Not only Israel, by the way. Every place you go, I mean,
everywhere.
It's if you look at it superficially, it's extremely chaotic and scary. But I think if you look at it a bit deeper, and we use the faith and a deep faith in a better future and the coming of Mashiach, I think the upheaval that's happening now is the world preparation for, hopefully, for the coming of Mashiach.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out preparation journey for Mashiach. We believe, you know, this famous song, Ani Ma'amin Be'emunah Shleima.
Yeah.
The Jews have sung for I don't know how long, for generations and generations. Elie Wiesel, there's a little clip. Mm. I'm singing Ani Ma'amin, was ingrained in him from his birth. And even though after the Holocaust, understandably, he struggled with his faith, but as he says himself, he couldn't get rid of his faith. He couldn't, because faith is ingrained within a Jewish soul. And there's moments and there's experiences where he sat down and he sang the Ani Mamin. He sang, I believe, the Emunah Shlema, with perfect faith, that it will happen. And I think the time is now, the time is right. In generally, yeah. Great tzaddikim, another Lubavitcher Rebbe, and other great people have told us that we are in a generation that are preparing for Mashiach, and we need to get ready, because you asked also what we can do. I mean,
That's what I was like. What does it mean to get ready? Just maybe you can expound on that a little bit.
So first of all, let's take a step back a little bit. Jewish sources tell us that actually, although of course only God can bring Mashiach, only God can allow Mashiach to come or to be revealed and so on, but we are told that it's a little bit dependent on us. Now, let's understand what that means. And people ask a question, I'll just sidetrack for a second, if that's okay. So people ask, because I want to just share with you a beautiful analogy. So people talk about, great generations were unable to bring Mashiach. Great tzaddikim and righteous people talked about it, but they didn't manage to achieve it. So us little guys in this generation, which is such a spiritually deficient generation, really a poor generation, we're going to bring Mashiach. And the answer is very simple. The analogy is given, it's like a dwarf on the shoulders of a giant. It's an accumulative process. We've been without a temple now for 2,000 years almost. And we've been in this galut, in this exile, preparing for Mashiach. And it's accumulative. All the good deeds, all the things that have been done throughout generations are all filling up the cup, so to speak, right? And now we just need that last couple of drops. So something small that we do could tip the scale. Something small that we do could be finishing the quota in order to bring Mashiach. So what do we need to do? What do we need to prepare? So I think one of the things we need to do is we need to know, what are the things that we are taught bring Mashiach closer? Like what destroyed the temple, first of all, right? Obviously, lack of spiritual connection. But one of the things we know, that one of the things that destroyed the temple was the transgression of baseless hatred, of disunity, of division. So the first thing we can do is we can go out of our way, not just lip service, but really go out of our way to embrace people that we don't get on with so much, to starting, and perhaps not only starting, but mainly with people who are close to us that we sometimes belittle or disrespect or talk down to. Or have conflict with. Now, we can always disagree, but it's a matter of how we disagree, right? So just to embrace and engage and reach out to people who maybe we haven't reached out to for a long time, or we have a bit of a faribble, as they call it in South Africa, all that kind of things, we need to do that as a matter of urgency. And I think now, with Tisha B'Av just on our doorstep and reminding ourselves about, all of this destruction and trying to bring an end to it, this is so much important. But I think there's also a general concept, and that is we have to bring the concept, you said before it's not a personal growth session today, but maybe it is, right? Because we have to bring Mashiach into our lives now as much as we can. What does that mean? It means not to live a superficial life, to connect more with our Jewishness, and to try and imagine what it is like to live a Mashiach life, to make our lives more God-centered, to make our values come to the forefront, to live a life of meaning and purpose.
What does that look like? For example, like what is a Mashiach marriage look like, for example?
You see, one of the things I think we can translate, let's say, into relationships and marriage, is a good question you're asking, right? Mashiach marriage is that we live, first of all, we have common values. Right, that we live with someone else, we live with our spouse, for example, and we together invite God into the equation. Right? We invite God into that. That's number one. But also we live mutually to be connected with something higher. So for example, that in itself should minimize conflict and division, right? It should actually strengthen the marriage, because when we surrender our ego a little bit, where does all baseless hatred come from? Where does relationship breakdown come from? It comes from ego, essentially. We all have an ego, right?
Yeah.
Bringing God into the marriage means we give up our ego a little bit. We surrender our ego a little bit, something higher, to something that's commonly greater than both of us, a collective higher purpose, a collective higher being, right? When we do that more, and that could be by bringing a bit more Jewishness into our home, by mutually, like together deciding, maybe there's an extra mitzvah we can bring into the home. Maybe there's just about remembering. You know, when people get married, for example, there's the bride and the groom, and there's the chuppah on top of the bride and groom, which we know represents the divine presence because it's God which transcends both the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, or to the two friends or the two siblings, whatever the relationship is, right? And by giving up that ego a little bit, we think a little bit less about ourselves. So number one, it brings godliness and holiness and purpose into our relationship, and also it enhances the relationship. Because we focus less on our own ego, we focus more on something higher than ourselves. I think that was a good question. Yes, I think that's part of.
And I think just in general, everything we do in life, doing it in a Mashiach way is infusing it with purpose, with a godly purpose. With like it's not just what you're doing. This we call in Hebrew the pnimiyut, the sort of the deeper, the godly aspect of it. There's a law in Jewish law about Shabbos. It says when you cook food for Shabbos, it says you're supposed to taste the Shabbos food on Friday. Sort of like to prepare, make sure it has the right amount of salt. So in many sort of Jewish sources, it says that the similar idea, like we're literally, like Shabbos is really Mashiach. Mashiach is the ultimate Shabbos, right? It's like the Shabbos-like existence. And we're so close. And what we have to do now is we have to taste it. We have to actually start living that way as much as we can now to sort of put ourselves in that space.
Yeah, each person in their own, in their own way and how they can do it, but that's the direction and that's the purpose. 100%.
And I think this is important to think about now, when such a so much turmoil, and who knows what's going to happen over the next 24 hours and 48 hours, and God should help, everything should be good and smooth. But I think this is something we need to think about, that there's a
Yeah,
purpose
time is
here.
right. I think it's that we have to create an urgency about this. In other words, like you say, and the crying on Tisha B'Av is meant that way. It's not supposed to be a crying of despair, right? We're about to go into 24 hours. We're actually, it's the day is designed to cry. I mean, not everyone physically cries, but I mean the concept of crying, right? And that's the idea. The idea is to not cry. And I think people are in a situation now. I mean, I have so many people that have talked, spoke to you about this, that they feel on edge and they feel worried and they feel anxious. And it is, it's a very chaotic world. And especially right now in Israel, we're not who's planning an attack, and God forbid, and people are on edge, right? I just spoke yesterday to someone in Israel, and they're definitely on edge. But all of that we need to think about over Tisha B'Av, but not in a way where it's going to bring us to more anxiety or paralysis or sadness or despair, but actually a call to action. Call to action. How I'm going to bring hope and faith in Mashiach and complete emunah into my life. I just mentioned something else. I think part of it also is, when we say about bringing purpose and depth and going to the deeper sort of purpose of everything that we do, which includes, by the way, eating and business and everything that we do, everything has a purpose, right? Just to live for a higher purpose and higher value. Part of that also is believing that we make a difference, believing that, we can make that huge difference. We can make a change in the world. When I do another mitzvah, or I'm kinder to someone else, or I'm more compassionate, or I strengthen my relationship or my marriage, every little bit that I do makes a world of difference. And it's another brick in the rebuilding of the temple. It's another step in bringing Mashiach that much closer.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something we can all think about. So if God forbid we still have to fast, wish everyone an easy fast, but we know that when Mashiach will come, the day of Tisha B'Av will be transformed into a Yom Tov. It says it'll be one of the happiest days of the year. So please God, we should experience that this year.
Amen, and we should only know good things and happiness and Mashiach very, very, very soon.
Amen. Have a good day, everyone.
All this. Bye-bye.